Roots and Shoots with Joe and Sabrina. On Afternoons, 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
A very good afternoon to you, Sabrina Hahn.
Well, I have to tell you, Joe, this is the first time I've actually walked outside of the house.
Since?
Since I got up this morning. So bloody cold. I haven't left the house.
It is freezing.
Oh, and last night we had a total blackout throughout the whole suburb.
Oh, no.
So it happened at about 5, 5:30.
Okay, how many pairs of Ugg boots and layers of blankets and beanies were you wearing?
Because we had no heating, zero heating. And I'm in an old house and it's freezing cold. And my youngest daughter has just moved over from New South Wales. So it was her first night.
She's like, Mum! Mum!
So do you know what we did?
What?
It was actually really lovely. Because it was so cold, so we did a candlelight dinner and then we both sat up in bed under the doona in our pyjamas. This is by
In the same bed?
In the same bed,
yeah. To keep each other warm.
And we sat up and talked and then we watched a movie on the laptop computer. We drank a bottle of – actually, we drank two bottles of champagne. And it was really lovely. And I just thought, we forget how to live simply.
Without all the distractions.
Yeah.
You've just harked back to a time. I mean, you did have a computer to watch a film.
Yeah,
you could have stood around a piano and sung to each other.
Exactly. With your Ugg boots, your smoking jacket, your woolly pyjamas.
Yeah, there is something special about
it. And when the power came back on, we just went, nah, we're just going to leave everything off. And we did.
What a beautiful evening.
Yeah, it was really lovely. But this morning was so cold, I thought, I am not going outside.
And you are a hardy person.
I am a hardy person, but I had to do a lot of writing and I thought I'm just going to keep the heater on.
And warm up. I've got a question for you from Teresa, who pruned her hydrangea and she wants to know, has she pruned it properly? I'm not sure if you can see that.
So what I'm looking at for people that can't see the picture is five sticks that are leafless, but they've got fantastic big fat buds on them. And that's what you want. When you prune a hydrangea, you want to get rid of all the old leaves because they often get powdery mildew. And what she's done is she has pruned back to two fat round buds. Now, the reason you go for the fattest ones is they are your flowering wood. So you've done a beautiful job on pruning that hydrangea.
Okay. Teresa, you are getting the double thumbs up from Sabrina. Her follow-up question is, should she sea-salt them now?
No, because they're not going to be doing anything really, just sitting there. What I would do is probably give them, don't give them any fertiliser, just give them a bit of water now and again. And with those buds, actually, what I would do is give them a preventative spray of a fungicide that's made with potassium bicarbonate.
And why do you do that?
Because if there's any fungal spores that were on the leaves originally, like powdery mildew, they could be harbouring inside those little fat buds.
Okay.
So you want to nip.
Nip
it in the bud.
I've got a question from Bev in Mandurah who would like to know which is the best way for testing soil, chemical kits or three-way soil probes. And she says she always appreciates your wisdom and knowledge.
I would definitely go for the chemical kits. Definitely.
Okay.
They're more accurate.
Easy.
Than a probe.
There you go, Bev. Go and get a chemical.
Leave the probe to the aliens when they come down.
A chemical kit.
Yeah.
Are they already here or are they already here? Five, let's head to Kelmscott. Good afternoon, Jeanette.
Oh, good afternoon. I've recently purchased a clementine citrus.
Yeah.
And in your book, Sabrina, you said just to be careful not to plant it too close to seeded mandarins.
Yeah.
My neighbour has got two seeded mandarins and I'm just wondering what a safe distance would be to plant mine. On the other side of the fence.
It's really you have to think about where a bee flies. So
okay.
Because they're self-pollinating, but it's when you get transference where the bees go from one place to another. Basically, Jeanette, it's only a problem if they're right smack close to one another.
Okay.
So if you've got a bit of distance there, you should be okay.
Okay, that sounds good then.
Yeah. So you won't have to move your fence or move your house.
Very good.
Yeah, that great news.
Yeah, that would be
great
good.
News.
That would be good.
Good luck with that, Jeanette. Now, Stephanie, I think, wants some advice about a book. Good afternoon, Stephanie.
Hello, Steph.
Well, hi. How are you, ladies?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm ringing because I would like to buy a book for my partner, Jen, who is a horticulturalist.
Yeah.
Loves natives. Loves succulents.
Yeah.
Loves old books. A little bit like her partner.
Yes.
just saying. I just want to find her something really different, but that fits those themes. If you could think of anything, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay. My advice to you is go to a second-hand bookshop.
And there is one in your neck of the woods.
There most definitely is. You are very close to one in your neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's really interesting is the really old gardening books. And I have a massive collection of those, and I've got all my grandmother's original gardening books.
Do you?
Yeah, and they're all about, they really focus on, it's basically managing your garden without the use of chemicals because they didn't have them back there.
So good, healthy soil.
Yeah, and they bang on about soil all the time. And then some of the books that were the gardening books that were written during World War One and World War Two, because there was, you just could not get anything. So everything had to be a closed system. What you grew, what you ate, what you did in your own garden. And I think she would really love that. So you need to go to a secondhand bookshop and have a look at the they will always have concise Australian gardening written somewhere in the title, and look for books that were written in the anything from the early 1900s right up to 1946. The information given on there is brilliant. I would really go and have a little wander through those.
Does that sound doable,
excellent.
Stephanie?
Oh, 100%, and that sounds perfect because she also fancies herself as wanting to grow what we eat.
Yeah.
So,
and that was, it's all about grow your own and how to manage your garden. Way back then, it was all about managing your garden sustainably.
Yeah. Mm. Important business. Mm. Important business. Happy shopping, Stephanie. Let's get back to it, Ms. Sabrina Hahn.
Let's do.
Susan has got a question for you. Good afternoon, Susan.
Good afternoon. I just want to a suggestion of a plant to put in a pot that will be a screening, because it has to be tall and skinny, up to about 3 metres.
Yep. Okay, spoilt for choice. You have got, there's a syzygium, otherwise known as the lily pilly, called Straight and Narrow, says it.
Are you a fan of the lily pilly?
Yeah, I love lily pillies.
Love lily pillies, yeah.
So you've got that. There is a Callistemon, a bottle brush called Slim, named after our very own, I'm sure, because it's a bit rough around the edges. No, it's tall and elegant. And very floriferous.
And always wears matching socks and shirts.
Always. A very neat and tidy little Callistemon. It's slim. And then there's, it depends whether you come from New South Wales or WA, a Dodonia or a Dodonia, same. And it's called Mr. Green Sheen. So those three would be perfect. So Dodonia, Mr. Green Sheen, Callistemon Slim, Syzygium Straight and Narrow.
Got that, Susan?
Got it all.
happy planting. Yeah, lots coming through on the text line, but go and give us a call. We don't do we?
How to stay warm. You know, we should get gum boots. They probably make them. The gardeners, all our listeners will know, can you get gum boots that are like
100%? I can't tell you the brand name, but yes, you can. You know what else you can get?
What?
They're the ugliest things in the world. They start with a C and they've got holes in them and you can get them lined.
Can you really?
I only know this because I put some on. Wowza. Hopefully the person whose shoes I put on, which were not mine, is not missing. Yeah, but the gum boots.
Yeah.
People even if you're not a mad keen gardener,
yeah,
a lot of people wear them for like school sport and stuff like that. You know, when you're on the sidelines and it's howling and it's raining.
Freeze to death.
We know what to get you for your birthday.
Absolutely.
There we go.
That's champion.
Good tip.
Because my tootsies get cold in the garden in winter.
You need some possum wool socks.
I've got a possum hat and I've got a possum cape.
Okay, we're going to the text line while we wait for Matt on the phone. John says he's got a 6 metre high, is it claret ash?
Yep.
With four large surface roots going in four directions, they're getting a bit destructive. Can he cut them all off while it's dormant without killing the poor thing?
Yep, absolutely, John. Get out the old recip saw is the best thing for cutting the roots off trees. Now, I wouldn't do all four roots at once, though. I do one per year.
Ooh.
Not all four at the one time.
Okay.
Because that might be a little bit too tragic.
Okay. There we go. One at a time. One at a time, John. Oh, Maddie says those sea shoes, the holes are where your dignity leaks out. Matey, I completely agree. They are possibly the ugliest shoes I've ever seen.
But, you know, when you're in the garden and you're fairly fanging in there, you don't really, I mean, you're not, you don't care what you look like. You don't go to shops. Well, I do, but.
Someone's just sent through a text about the boots that I was talking about. Yeah. We can't mention the brand name, but whoever sent that through, that is exactly what I was talking about. Matt is in Lake Coogee. G'day, Matt.
G'day. How you going, girls?
Yeah, good, Matt.
That's the way. Hey, Sabrina, I've got some lucky bamboo growing along my fence line beside my pool, and I've got a colour bond fence and travertine paving, and I've noticed that the bamboo struggles in summer with the heat from both of them.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of replacing the bamboo with potentially like a star jasmine to creep up the fence line because I don't have a lot of soil to work with, but I just wondered whether it would be invasive for the pool pipes.
No, not at all. Not that, well, the bamboo might be, but the jasmine definitely won't be, Matt.
Yeah, okay, yeah, because I was thinking I might take the bamboo out. I don't know if you can dig it out and re-transplant it somewhere
else. Yeah, you can. You can, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. I have to tell you, it's not easy digging, but and you will need a recip saw for that as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I was led to believe that the fortune bamboo the roots weren't very invasive, but more clumping and just.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping.
Are you disagreeing with that, or what's the?
I've seen them. I've seen non-invasive bamboo that go quite invasive. Matt is all I'm saying.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe it might be best if I do pull them out and then maybe go with the star jasmine idea.
Yeah, I think, and the star jasmine would love that position. Do very well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it looks stunning. They're so pretty.
Right, they're gorgeous and the perfume.
Good choice, Matt. Now, Pauline in Esperance wants to know what to do for scale on white, what is that? White
sapote.
White sapote.
So a sapote is a tropical fruit tree. They're usually fairly large. So you get the white sapote and the black sapote. And the black sapote they call the chocolate pudding tree. So it has a beautiful, tasty fruit on it. Now, it's going to be quite a large tree. So rather than think about spraying it, I would actually get a predatory insect or some little birds that are going to eat the scale. So there's a couple of things. Geckos eat scale. A lot of the very small birds eat scale. A sapote tree is too big to spray. So you really need to get predatory insects in. There's a very small wasp that you can buy online and release them and they parasitize the scale. So there's a couple of companies that actually breed predatory insects for pest insects. I would look at those.
There you go, Pauline. And Pauline writes, keep warm. And Pauline's in Esperance. You keep warm too, Pauline.
Yeah.
It must be chilly down there. Andy's in Midland. G'day, Andy. Hello, Andy.
Hello, yes.
Hello. What can we do for you, Andy?
Well, I'm not in Midland. I'm in actually a place called Mullyabini.
Oh, goodness, sorry.
Oh, Mullyabini. Where's that?
Yeah.
What an awesome name.
Just north of Bindoon.
Oh, my goodness. I go through there all the time and I've never seen that sign.
So yeah, well, I'm on the road to Tamora.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know where you are. Right. I know where you are. Andy, what can we do for you?
Well, my wife bought some bulbs at a stall.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to have been daffodils.
Ah, right.
But they ended up as this black flag.
As in a succulent?
It's like a, it grows a bit like a daffodil, but it's got a horrible flower and it's very invasive and very hard to get rid of. It's a South African bulb, apparently.
Oh, we're just looking at it, Andy.
My goodness. Okay. So yeah. That's Ferraria. Well, that was a bit of an oversight, wasn't it? Because that's a noxious weed.
It is, definitely, yeah.
So obviously what's happened is the seed of that has been in the ground where they've dug up the bulbs, I would say, because you need to write to the company and say and take a photo and show them that, because they're obviously not screening the soil or the bulb or... Yeah, something's gone seriously wrong there, and you definitely do not want that running through your garden.
No, well, she bought it off of a stall.
At a market.
At a market, yeah.
Okay.
I reckon you could probably track them down, Andy. If you find out who runs the market, they'll have a list of stall holders. And then if you can locate, if you can provide them with, you know, the date or something, I reckon they'd be able to help you. So maybe
They've been in there a while. Over the last couple of years, I've been gradually digging them out and getting rid of them.
Yeah.
But I'd like to know if there's something that I can use to poison them, maybe.
No, the problem is, as you can see by the leaf, if you spray anything on it, just literally rolls off the leaf. And that's why really you just have to keep pulling them out, Andy.
Yeah, when you pull them out, like they have like corms.
Yeah, that's right.
And they have multiple corms.
I know. Yeah. And then they get left in the ground. So it's a matter of digging them.
Yep. Okay.
Oh, what a shame, Andy. Sorry to hear that. That is rather annoying, isn't it? Walter's, I think, in Les Murdy. Walter, have we got you right today?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey. What can
well
we do?
Done. Hello, Sabrina.
Hello, Walter.
As you probably know from the message, I've got a black Genoa fig tree, which is probably about, well, at least 10 years old, and I'm getting a reasonable amount of fruit from it.
Yep.
But about 1.5 to 2 metres away, I've got a Callistemon viminalis. And I'm just wondering, is that too close to, will that affect the root system of the fig tree?
Very little affects the root system of the fig tree, Walter. I don't think you'll need to worry at all. And that's far enough away anyway.
Yeah. So I guess the reason I ask that is because while I get a reasonable amount of fruit and I net the tree so the 28s don't get them.
Yeah.
And I keep the tree sort of reasonable size so I can keep a net over it.
Yeah.
I reckon I could do better. A friend of mine who has a tree that's of similar age and size and everything, and he gets bucket loads of fruit. We get enough fruit for ourselves, but barely can give any away. I just wonder, is this, I put a bit of chook poo on it every now and then.
Yeah.
And some of that natural fertiliser that you talked about.
Yeah.
But maybe I should be giving it more, maybe some kind of...
I would actually give it a boost with a really good quality fertiliser that's got all the trace elements in it at the beginning of spring, Walter. So that's really the poo that you, the chicken poo and everything else you're giving them is fine, but I would give them one dose of granular fertilizer in spring and the second dose at the beginning of summer. So beginning of spring, beginning of summer.
There you go, Walter. Now, Sabrina Hahn, you have got so many gumboots, wellies, suggestions coming through on the text line. It is not funny. I love you all. food for thought. We will. I'm not going to go through them all, but rest assured, Sabrina is going to have a little look at
I'll
all
be
of your
up.
Welly suggestions.
Yes.
Now, before we move on to Jan, just quickly, Sabrina, Andy's in Mosman Park and he has sent through a photo of his Pride of Bolivian tree, great for shade, but he's got lawn underneath it that he wants to remove and he wants to plant a native garden under it.
Yep.
He's got a bit of a love-hate relationship with the tree, which is beautiful and does provide a lot of shade.
And it's huge.
And it is huge. It's sandy soil. What should he do?
Okay, Andy, so you would be able to grow any of the Tomasias, T-H-O-M-A-S-I-A. A lot of the beautiful grasses, native grasses.
And they'll all grow under the tree
they
with the shade.
They will all grow under the tree with the shade. You can grow hibbertias as well. There's not a lot of plants that would grow under because it's such dense shade under a tipuana. But definitely some of the native grasses and definitely Tomasia, Coria, and what was the other one I said?
Oh, goodness, don't ask me. Not
Hibbertia.
Hopefully Andy was listening.
They would be my pick.
And then you could also just, you know, create a little path and Bob's your uncle, you're done. Okay, Jan has patiently been waiting. Good afternoon, Jan. You would like a recommendation, I think, for a small tree?
Yes, please. Hi there, Sabrina.
Hello.
I live in Woodlands and I'm right on the Jackadder Lake, which is really nice.
Yeah.
But we need to put in a verge tree. We're actually about to demolish our house and build a new house. And but anyway, before that we don't have a verge tree. We have a nice big grevillea which I've managed to shape into a tree, but unfortunately I'm going to lose it when we bulldoze. So I'm wondering what tree I could put in. I really love the birds and a native tree, but something that's not too big but is not too dense, so I still get a little bit of a look through the tree to the lake.
Dappled light coming through.
Some dappled light,
yeah. Okay, so there is a beautiful little gum tree called Orbifolia, Eucalyptus Orbifolia, which has a lovely little canopy on it. Then
Is that the precious pearl, would they call it that one?
No. That's a Corymbia. And that's
oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's quite a dense, that's a very dense crown on it.
Orbifolia.
So, yeah, Orbifolia. Then you've got Eucalyptus websteriana, Eucalyptus kingsmillii.
Can you say that again? Webster, what was it?
Websteriana. Yeah, and Eucalyptus kingsmillii.
Yeah.
And Eucalyptus stoatii, S-T-O-A-T-I-I.
Sorry, could you say that again? I'm writing quickly here.
S-T-O-A-T-I-I.
Double I. Cool. Yep. Thank you.
That would be my pick.
Happy planting. Happy planting. Let's move to Gooseberry Hill. Good afternoon, Lee.
Good afternoon. We have plumbago everywhere. That was planted by the original owners about 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And we've dug down about a metre trying to get the suckers out, but they are just everywhere and I don't know how to stop it.
Well, most people, when they wish to control plumbago, have to resort to glyphosate.
Right. That's what I thought.
because it just keeps reshooting from underneath.
It does. We've cut it down to the ground. We've tried digging it out. We've tried everything and it just pops up and spreads further.
Yeah. The other thing is some people do the blackberry and tree killer.
Okay.
So I try that first, and then you may have to resort to glyphosate.
And would that be the same for the wisteria? Because that's out of control as well.
Yep, absolutely. With the wisteria, when you cut, you paint it with the blackberry and tree killer.
Okay.
Yep.
Blackberry. Okay, yep. Lovely. Thank you for that.
Okay, thanks, Lee.
Good luck, Lee. Vicky's in Dunsborough. Good afternoon, Vicky.
Hello. Hi, ladies. I've been told I've got to be quick because we're coming to the end of the show.
Yep, that's right.
I've got an orange trumpet vine planted about 5 months ago up a sturdy trellis.
Yeah.
It was going lovely, just started to flower, and now something's attacking it. I've got curled up leaves with the spots on the back and like the lumpy bits and then going all brown around the edges.
Ooh. So that sounds like you've got an insect that's doing the sap sucking, which is causing the curling leaves. And then it sounds to me like you've got a fungal disease as well. Bit hard diagnose without seeing it. Can you give it a really hard prune, Vicky?
I could. It's only probably about not quite a metre high and wide. It's only quite new.
Oh, it's small.
It's only 2 days or 5 months ago.
All righty. So first of all, I would give it a spray with some a Mancozeb-based spray. Do that first. Then 2 weeks after that, then you can spray it with an organic oil, pest oil.
Okay.
Yep. And that should sort out those problems.
Get them under control.
Yeah.
We're going to squeeze in one more call. Good afternoon, Murray.
Hi, I was just wanting to know about transplanting a frangipani. I know it's a common subject.
Yeah.
But pruning a frangipani, having taken a cutting, which has got leaves attached, one should remove the leaves before they put the cutting in the dark place.
Most definitely. Okay, so take the leaves off, let the cutting lay around somewhere safe for 2 to 3 weeks. Then you're going to put that cutting, make it 3 weeks this time of the year. Then you're going to put that cutting in a pot with potting mix and only water it once every 2 to 3 weeks. And then spring, it'll sprout.
And I followed Sabby's advice, Murray, and it worked to a T.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
The cutting at that point would still be milky?
Not after 3 weeks. It will have calloused over.
Okay, so wait for it to callous over.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Good luck with it, Murray.
Sabrina, Patrick just wants to let you know how much he loves the word dappled.
Oh,
it's a beautiful world.
It is a lovely
world. Word.
It is a beautiful
dappled
world. Dappled life.
And Antonio in Pinjarra, we do appreciate all of your suggestions when it comes to wellies. Mm. Sabrina's going to have great fun choosing a pair.
I won't know which ones to put on what day.
There you have it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Your knowledge is astounding, as always.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.